right, what's going on, beautiful people? It's the North Shore 9 post-game show powered by Primanti Brothers. Welcome to Group Therapy. I am Tyler. With me is Doug. Doug, you ready to complain?
Hi, my name is Doug. I'm a Pirates fan.
So, that's what it feels like with that, my friend. Yeah. Sorry, people. I thought we were going to have some Primanti Brothers sandwiches to give out tonight. Unfortunately, the Pirates had other ideas. Whew. That's frustrating, man. That's.
Yeah. It really is.
I want to swear a lot. I really want to swear.
5-0 lead. Jared Jones pitching. You know, Brian Reynolds hits a grand slam. I mean, these are all the elements that you would expect that add up to a victory. And, man. I mean, and the blame pie for this is just, we don't have enough time in a post-game show to go over all the things and people that are at fault for this, right? You know, it's not just Chapman, you know, walking the bases loaded. It's not just Brian Reynolds making an error. It's not just not having a reliever available because you're rostering a guy who can't hit. I mean, it's just, you know.
Poor Doug. He's having a rough internet night. And
I'm just beat. I'm beat down.
Well, before we get more into this, let me tell you guys about Bet Online. BetOnline is your number one source for NBA and NHL playoffs this season. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in the game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of our over 150 slot games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Don't forget to use promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V. For your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit, Bet Online. The game starts here. Doug, where do you want me to start here? Because I feel like I'm about to complain a lot. You know what? I'm just going to go on a little rant here. I'm just going to go on a little rant.
Go ahead. Okay.
So David Bednar unavailable today. It would have been 4 out of 5 days. I can get there with you. If we're not going to throw Bednar today, that is fine. I get it. 4 out of 5 days. It is what it is. This bullpen is supposed to be the strength of your team. And one of the main reasons it is supposed to be the strength of your team is because the acquisition of Aroldis Chapman for $10.5 million. I understand $10.5 million is kind of a drop in the bucket for a lot of teams. It is what it is. It's not to the Pirates. It could have been allocated elsewhere. They decided, and they went out of their way to spend that type of money on a reliever who, truthfully, at the end of last year, wasn't good anymore. There were concerns coming into this year. We mentioned those concerns, but based on track record, it is what it is. We're going to ride it out with Chapman. Hopefully, he figures it out. He's not figuring it out. He is terrible. Absolutely terrible. If he weren't being paid $10.5 million, he would be DFA'd tomorrow. He's god
awful. I mean, we don't seem to give up. Yeah, should be, but maybe not would be with this team.
He is god awful. He's walking 11 guys per 9 innings. That doesn't work. I don't know how many times I have to say it doesn't work for this team, but it's not working. Aroldis Chapman, it's not working. He gets pulled early because all he's done is give up walks lately. At that point, you have to go to Colin Holderman, who did an admirable job. Great job to Colin Holderman. He did what he could. He came in a very, very tough situation there. Bases loaded, no outs. He only gives up, allows one inherited runner to score. That's all you can ask for from Holderman. He's looked great. He gave them every opportunity to win this game. You know where the problem lies here? Your general manager decided that he wants to keep your terrible, god-awful, no-good first baseman around. Go short and arm in the bullpen with Jared Jones, young arm that you've already shown. You have no desire to let him pitch deep into games. And Paul Skenes tomorrow, who you're being very careful about him as well. And your GM decided that keeping Rowdy Tellez's god-awful, useless ass around is more valuable than bringing a bullpen arm up. So Jared Jones has to go back out in the sixth inning, where he probably shouldn't, because everybody on the face of the earth who's ever watched baseball can see Jared Jones does not have it today, and he's just battling through it. Jared Jones pitched his tail off. He had to go back out for a sixth inning because your GM decided that he's going to go forward with one fewer bullpen arm because he doesn't want to give up on a $3 million first baseman that can't field or hit. Complete failure. Ben Sherrington, again, failure, failure, failure. Game after game, there's problem after problem that points back to this guy.
He has no urgency to win. He has no urgency to win. And it's just so frustrating. We've discussed this before. I've seen tank jobs. I've seen the Cubs do it. I've seen the Astros do it. I've seen them in the NBA. I've seen them in the NFL. I've never seen one. You know, the saying has always been players and coaches don't tank, organizations do. But the way he runs this team, he's created such a losing culture. Again, nobody seems to care if they win today's game. We're always worried about some other game down the road. Let's pull Jared Jones after 59 pitches, then never do anything like that again. You know, I mean, I don't know what game we were trying to win by doing that. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? It's just there's no urgency to win in not just a division that's ripe for the plucking, a National League that, I mean, outside those three really, really good teams at the top. I mean, it's just stunning to me that in year five, he's still running this like it's the first year of a five-year rebuild. Right, but shouldn't there be some sort of accountability? Shouldn't somebody, Travis Williams, Bob Nutting, you know, the ghost of Roberto Clemente, somebody be saying, dude, it's time to try to win some games today. The leash that they're giving to Chapman and to Tellez and other players, you can see why players love Shelton. He'll stick with you. You can walk 11 straight guys. He'll stick with you. You can hit 179 2 months into the season. He'll stick with you. Somebody has got to say, you know what? We should try to win some games. Why don't we try to win some games? Why don't we, when we have Carmen Majinski, who obviously isn't completely back yet, Chapman, who doesn't know where the ball is going, Bednar, who has not been lights out, you know, and we're going to go short and arm in the bullpen when we have back-to-back outings from our rookies who we are clearly trying to protect from pitches and innings. I mean, what the hell? I mean, it makes no sense. It's like a fireable offense as far as I'm concerned. I mean, it's like this guy, I don't know when he plans on winning. I don't know. But it doesn't seem like it's this year. It doesn't seem like it's this year. Again, $10.5 million on Chapman, that could have combined that and Rowdy, and you have a $14 million first baseman.
Hey, you could have Jack Flaherty for right now.
I mean, there's so much more you could have. Yeah,
yeah. The allocation of resources this offseason is just laughable at this point. I want to go back to a comment here by Matt that Jared Jones got hung out to dry today. Not just Jared Jones got hung out to dry. Colin Holderman got hung out to dry. Derek Shelton got hung out to dry by his GM today because he was left with nothing. And he's just left carrying the bag because Derek Shelton's going to wear a lot of this.
Yeah.
He was left nothing available because the general manager decided that keeping Rowdy Tellez around is more important than having another bullpen arm. So that you're stuck with Kyle Nicholas as your last arm, a guy that can't throw a strike as well.
Right. Well, and I mean, there's simple solutions. Okay, don't DFA him. How about a phantom injury for 10 days, just so you can at least have the arm? And then, you know, let him get in the cage and let him put his work in and all that crap and put him on a minor league rehab assignment. Why in the world? I mean, you're not playing him. So he's just taking up a roster spot for a pitcher that this bullpen desperately needs. I mean, I understand the bullpen has been dealt some, you know, bad luck with the injuries. I mean, I never thought I would say this forthcoming sentence, but we're devastated by the losses of Moretta and Borucki. But then Majinski, you know, he's not right. And Bednar has not been right all year. And Colin Holderman is the guy I have the most faith in right now. But I don't want to see him pitching. I mean, you know, he was wonderful getting out of that jam. Bases loaded, nobody out. He only allows the one run. And then you have to put him out there again. And I support not putting Bednar out there. He's pitched a lot. But again, there should have been somebody. I don't care if it's right or right. I don't care who it was. There should have been another bullpen arm up here.
And it's not even about the Holderman at the end of the game. There, I'm fine with all of that transpired. It goes back to the sixth inning where it's blatantly obvious that Jared Jones should not go back out there for a sixth.
Right.
At the very, very least, you don't leave him in as long as you do there. He was left in there too long because there's nothing else left because your GM left you with nothing. And Ryan here in the comments is also mentioning something that a lot of people are talking about. It's just very random when we care about these guys' innings. Have a plan and stick to the damn plan.
Right. Yeah. Be consistent with it. Right. If you took him out after every game that he got to 75 pitches, I might not like it, but at least I could see and understand what they're doing. But no, like I said, he's pitching a gem. He's got 59 pitches. He looks like he could go out for another innings. We yank him. You know, it makes no sense. Today he's scuffling. He, you know, it's second time he's seen this team. Well, who knows, you know, all this stuff. He just didn't have the best command of his fastball today. You know, it was an off day for him. He wasn't his sharp. And he still only gives up 3 earned runs. Mm-hmm. He still gives us a quality start. You know, he still induces a bunch of double plays. You can tell he's pitching, not just throwing. He's learning the job. And again, right, we have to send. It's kind of what we were doing to Keller and Oviedo last year. Oh, you got to pitch now because, you know, I got nobody else, buddy. You know, yeah. And again, what are we going to get from Skeens tomorrow? Right. 5-6 innings if we're lucky. So, you know, we're going to be going right back to that bullpen. And then, oh, by the way, the Braves come to town. And I don't know if you know this, but they have a guy or two that can hit and they can run through, you know, they can get to the bullpen quickly.
For the love of God, I really hope that they have somebody really close to Pittsburgh right now, because at 12:20 tomorrow, you got to get another bullpen arm up here.
Yeah.
Or else it might be more trouble tomorrow.
Ben, you know, he'll do something to show us he's the smartest guy in the room again. That backfires on him as usual.
Right? Yeah, we'll probably have one of the relievers go down to the minors and we'll hang on the Rowdy for another week for fun.
Yeah, we'll keep Rowdy.
We'll play one time because... At the very least, Derek Shelton seems like he's gotten enough of a brain on him at this point that he cannot play Rowdy Tellez anymore, or else he might be ran out of the city.
Right.
But Ben Sherrington's not here yet.
No. Ben Sherrington obviously has good personal security because he's feels very comfortable, you know, continuing on with just stupidity. I mean, golly, try to win. I just try to win, you know. It's so frustrating. It's so frustrating, you know, putting in obviously I've been with this team since the early to mid 70s, but just these past 5 years, we haven't tried to win. And it's just, you know, I mean, decisions have been forced on Shelton. Rosters have been forced on Shelton that, you know, it's like, hey, you know, tonight you're going to start a guy who sucks. We know he sucks, but we kind of want to see if there's something there, you know. No, there's not. You know, start these 3 other players that can't hit, haven't ever hit, will never hit. And, you know, just I would look, he's done a great job of finding some pitching. He you know, kudos. But he has created a losing culture. he does not put emphasis on winning. I don't know when he's ever going to. I mean, do the Pirates have to start out 42-0 before he takes the team seriously? Right? I mean, it's, you know, this is a team that's hanging around 500. You should support that team. Maybe do something. Do something, you know, just managing your roster. Manage your roster better. I understand we're not going to go get Shohei, right? But manage your roster better.
Plain and simple, we can argue about the talent here, but the roster construction has been atrocious. Right. It's bad. It is bad for a 12-year-old playing MLB The Show. That's how bad this roster construction is. I have faith that a 12-year-old playing MLB The Show could construct a better roster, just position-wise, of who they need, rather than Ben Cherington at this point.
Yeah.
Everything he has done lately has been just plain out stupid.
He can never accept that he's wrong, that he made a mistake, that he got the wrong guy, and so he won't move on. He'll cling to that. You know, we've seen it with countless players. When it would have just been better, you know, to bring up one of the young guys and see, right? I'd rather see Matt Gorski. I don't think Matt Gorski's any kind of answer. I'd rather see Matt Gorski. And if nothing else, Matt Gorski could pinch run for somebody or, you know, be a defensive replacement. At least he'd offer some value. And he couldn't hit any worse than 170. And who cares if he hits 150, 170, 150, it's all the same. It sucks, right? I'd rather, you know, again, Jake Lamb. I know Jake Lamb sucks. It can't be worse than Rowdy Tellez right now.
I love that we're at the point where Rowdy Tellez didn't play and we are still blaming him for this loss.
Right. And it's not right. I used to say this about Van Meter. It's not his fault. He's trying hard. He's trying his best. He sucks. He's not a major league player, but he was kept on this roster for much longer than he should have been. He was asked to do things that he wasn't able to do. That's not his fault. You know, I mean, if tomorrow they say, hey, Doug, we're going to give you that minimum MLB contract. You want to play first base? You better believe I'll be out there. and I'm not making it $3 million. I'll take what is it now? 575, 750, somewhere in there. I don't blame Rowdy Tellez for, please keep those paychecks coming. But somebody, you know, somebody in the organization, you know, and clearly it's not going to, you know, Shelton can't do it. It's not going to be Ben. And Travis Williams is, I don't know what he does other than suggest getting a pretzel. So.
All right. Well, we spent 18 minutes on roster construction and complaining about Ben Cherington. Maybe we should talk about the game a little bit.
Yeah. This is a post game show.
We touched a little bit on Jared Jones. Obviously, it didn't look like he had it tonight. Fastball command was shaky. He didn't jump ahead of anybody. Still somehow gets a quality start out of it. Like I said, I would have liked to probably see him get pulled after that fifth there. At the very least, after the first hit, or I can't exactly remember. Either a walk or hit. I can't remember exactly what happened. Feels like a lot of batters ago. But probably like to see him get pulled there. All things considered, though, like if that's what you're dealing with when Jared Jones doesn't have it, hey, I'm on board with that.
I mean, he made adjustments. You know, he induced three double plays, I think.
Yeah, the ball on the ground.
I'm not. He did fine. He has yet to give up more than three earned runs in a start. Again, it was a quality start. Yes, it'd have been nicer if he, you know. It's funny because we're usually saying, let him stay, let him play, give him one more inning. How'd he pull him so quick? But yeah, it would have been nice if we could have got him out in the fifth inning. I'm still very, very pleased with Jared Jones and all that he's doing. To me, it seems like he's, you know, maybe struggling a little, but like I said, he's learning on the job. You can tell that he's not just going to be a guy that just rears back and throws it. He's going to pitch. That's encouraging, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of what we're seeing in some of these most recent starts is that Jared Jones does look like he's learning how to pitch. We saw the ground balls he induced today, got a couple double plays out of it. Just there were big spots there where he was able to do what he needed to do and not rely on having to go to a full count with some guys and get a swing and miss. He's able to pitch a contact a little bit, use his stuff, kind of get an out pitch there a little bit. That's not a swing and miss. So, I mean, I liked what I saw from him a good bit, just probably left in a little bit too long because he just didn't have it today. But like I said, if that's what happens when he doesn't have it, hey, we're in good shape.
Right. If this is one of his subpar outings, we're blessed.
Aside from that, bat-wise, a lot of walks. Almost forgot that Blake Snell started this thing. Feels like that was a lifetime ago as well.
I forgot about him. I had a rant about him. I'll fire it up, loser.
Yeah, give me your Blake Snell stuff because he did start. Well, he didn't pitch well.
He's just such a loser, man. He did our inning was possible because he did not field a grounder. It's a small, subtle thing, but he was over, you know, ran over, was in position to get it, but just let it go by to Chapman. Chapman couldn't get the throw. And if Chapman can't get the throw, it can't be, you know, it can't be done. He is a spectacular third baseman. It's the exact same thing he did last year when we beat Sandy, and it was the same thing. He just kind of ran by it, let it go under his glove, let it go to Manny Machado. Machado couldn't make the play, and we ended up scoring. You know, I can't remember all the exact details, but very similar. I mean, the play looked carbon copied. Like, he could have just superimposed the Giants uni on over the San Diego. He's not a winning ball, man. I mean, he's good. He's a good pitcher. But, he walked to Cruz. Cruz is hitting 118 against left-handers, and he was afraid to pitch to Cruz. Like, I mean, I love Cruz. I know he's dangerous, but
to him too.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if if I was left-handed, I don't know if I'd be that afraid. You know, he's got 6 hits against left-handers this year. It is May 22nd, I believe. So, but yeah, anyway, we can move on. But and I was scared to death he was going to have a gem tonight because we do that all the time. Some pitcher who was formerly good, who's been struggling, coming off the, you know, injury, whatever, and then he faces the Pirates and he gets well. You know, Patrick Corbin has an 8 ERA at all times. He comes to Pittsburgh, you know, plays the Pirates, and he gives up 1 run over 8 innings. And yeah, but you know, the Pirates got to him. Like I said, lots of walks, and I mean, you know, between yesterday's game and today's game, the Giants were looking very piratey. Botched double play, you know, just walking guys, not making the right play, and boom, next thing you know, it's 4-0, 5-0. So
yeah, I mean, you get Snell out of the game that early, you probably hope you are going to win that game, especially up 5-1.
Yeah. It was 5-0. It was 5-0. And then,
it was 5-0, wasn't it?
Yeah, sure was. Yeah. In our one inning of offense.
Yeah. And in that one inning, Brian Reynolds did hit a grand slam. Good to see Brian Reynolds swinging a good bat lately. I mean, somewhat the bats, at least the top 4 guys, seem to start to be coming around a little bit. We're seeing some good at bats from Anil Cruz. Brian Reynolds put together good at bats. Kutch has looked a lot better in the leadoff spot. Like, they're half your lineup is at least showing some life now and looking pretty good. Problem is that they just all drop off the face of the earth after one good inning. So,
right. Yeah, that's been a problem a lot this year. All our runs in one inning and no adding on. I mean, and not just not adding on. We did not get a hit. You know, 0 for 16 or something after the fourth inning. I mean, we didn't threaten. We made it easy, you know. This lineup is just, yeah, you're right. The top 4 have looked a little better, but
a little better is not doing
still
it.
Seen, yeah, I mean, we still seem to be talking a lot more about, gee, they're hitting the ball hard and making outs. That's progress as opposed to actual results. You know, with all the analytics and all the things out there, you know, runs are still important, right? And we're not scoring runs. So,
yeah, playing, I mean, 5 runs when you're up 5-0 and you get the other team's starter out of the game as early as you did, you should win the baseball game. Plain and simple. I don't care what you have left in your pen. You should win that baseball game. Job didn't get done.
No.
Like, there's a lot of people you can throw blame on. Truthfully, the one we haven't mentioned is the fact that Brian Reynolds committed an error in left field there, and who knows what happens at that point if he doesn't commit that error.
Right.
Just little things they're not doing. They're not closing the door on teams. Really, we if the Giants complete a routine double play yesterday, we're in a much, much worse mood today. Because they would have got their butts kicked yesterday and then come back and lose this one like this. Whew.
Yeah, it's frustrating when you're not going to spend money. You need to be, you know, fundamentally sound. You need to do all the little things right. If you want to compete in the margins like that, right? You've got to be a smart team. You know, Tampa Bay does it, you know, and they've been doing it for years. So it is possible. But God, I mean, you know, nobody on our team seems to, you know, and we've got some spectacular defenders, right? You know, Triolo and Cabrian Hayes and Michael A. Taylor and Alika Week, but nobody seems to know where to throw the ball. Nobody seems, you know, no one knows who to call off, who's supposed to take. It's absurd the errors this team makes. And not just the errors that are, you know, counted as errors, but the mental things and it's in the base run blunders and on and on and on. The team has just got to be better. I don't know, you know, how else to say it, but when you're a 500 team or around that, a 76 win team, you know, you need to steal some wins by being a little smarter, a little more aggressive and a little more fundamentally sound.
You know what, Doug, I will put it this way because I've seen it a lot lately. I don't think you need to know more about this team other than the fact that they can't get a sacrifice bunt down. They cannot do it. Triolo had an opportunity tonight, and Derek Shelton has such little faith in them getting it down that if they don't get it down on the first pitch, he takes it off.
Yeah.
Triolo happened tonight. We saw it with Grandal recently as well. I don't remember the last time that they have gotten the sacrifice bunt down.
Right.
Get a damn bunt down.
For 100 years, pitchers could do it. Pitchers, you know, guys did not hit. It was not their job. But we don't have a major league player. We can't sacrifice bunt. We don't advance runners. We don't. I mean, how often? I mean, what? The other night it was first and second, nobody out. First and second, nobody out. You know, first and third, nobody. And nobody scores. We don't. We just, this is back when Rowdy was still playing. You know, hitting into double plays, pop infield pop ups, and I mean, it's
frustrating.
Yeah, frustrating, right? And I'm going to drive all the way to Pittsburgh so I can see it in person where my internet will not be an issue.
There we go. Well, on that note, Doug, your internet's had enough. I think I've had enough of this team, and I think you've had enough of this team tonight.
Yeah.
I'm running out of words to describe them at this point, so we'll be back at it again tomorrow. It is Paul Skeens Day. Wake up in the morning, forget about today.
Something to look forward to. Yeah, it's something Paul to look forward day. To.
Once okay. every, well, two times out of 5 days, you get to enjoy Jerry Jones and Paul Skeens. So at the end of the day, that's what you get. It's hey, man, better Keller's than we used to have.
Great. Falzer's pitching great. You can look forward to the starting pitcher most of the time.
Yep. All right, Doug. Pirates lose this one 9-5, I think. God, I lost count at some point. I think it was 9-5. Sounds right.
I think so, too. Yeah. Nine unanswered runs.
Let's get the heck out of here, Doug. We'll see you guys later. Be back with us tomorrow for the Paul Skeens start. We're out. Peace out, Girl Scouts.
Thanks, guys. See you tomorrow.
Hey, you all. Thank you for watching. I know we try to provide the most entertaining content that we can, and we'd love to spread it to as many people as possible. So I know it doesn't seem like a lot, but if you could take the 5 seconds to like this video and subscribe to the page, it helps out so much more than you know. Thank you, and let's go, Bucks.